The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it, Weekend Editions here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel, and Dirty Gertie the German Shepherd is here for quality control.
How about that?
She is not sporting a Will Bolt jersey yet, but give it time.
You realize she can be a just ferocious attack dog killer. You're training her properly, I'm hoping. Like, you're not treating her like she's a chihuahua or whatever.
Speaking of training,
she's a beast to be reckoned with.
We have not done much training yet because
We got an untrained German Shepherd in here. Hope I don't trigger her wolf instincts.
Well, the thing too is, there's three or four German Shepherds walking around on our way to work this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And her ears would perk up.
Yeah, maybe you should take the leash off her so she doesn't drag the water bowl across the studio floor.
Let me get onto that. But the news coming down yesterday on Will Bolt, official announcement released by the University of Nebraska. Will Bolt, Bill Moose, and Nebraska baseball has a new skipper.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, have you heard anything bad about Will Bolt?
No.
You
love his competitive spirit. He is as intense as you get. He has had fantastic training under Coach Childress at A&M. Mm-hmm. He knows the Big Ten with his time under Erstad. And, of course, he kickstarted the program with his buddies and Coach Van Horn for that magical era of Nebraska baseball.
And he recruits kids out of Lincoln pretty well.
Yes, he does.
he's been dragging them down to College Station for a little while. But that's the one thing that jumped out about him is, as a player anyways, because, you know, it's hard to follow an assistant's career or the head coach of Texarkana, right? Like, it's just hard to follow something like that. As a player, though, universally respected. I think by the fan base as much as anybody. Not on the team, obviously, so who knows? Maybe the guys on the team hated him. Doubt it.
They followed him.
Doubt it, right? Exactly. Universally respected. I mean, if he was Dave Van Horn's embodiment on the field.
Right.
No question about it. So we got everybody's respect. Now, coming back home, and how about that theme for Nebraska? It's been just absolutely ridiculous the last year and a half. I mean, really. A year and a half, you're pulling in. You're pulling in Frost, you're pulling in Hoiberg, you're pulling in Bolt. All these guys that have connections here that aren't high flight risks.
No.
Hoiberg is eventually, right?
Could
NBA.
Could be.
NBA, most likely.
If.
Right. Or like Carolina or something. Yeah, who knows? Depending on how things go with him. Will Bolt, not a big flight risk. Really don't think he is. And look, there's one thing he needs to address, though. It's that guess your pitch speed batting helmet that he wears on the field.
Listen, I saw your tweet last night.
Does he go to Worlds of Fun?
Maybe it's a John Olerud tribute. I don't know.
What is going on with that?
It's a hard hat. It's time to go to work.
Well, I get it. With no ear, right? Like no ear hole, of course.
It's kind of like the old catcher hat.
No, it's the guess your pitch speed. He stops at Worlds of Fun. He clocks 61, 62. I'll go 74. Doesn't get it, gets the little mini helmet instead. But then comes back and tries again because he's a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I'm going to have trouble getting. I don't understand. Like, everything about the Will Bolt hire is good.
You just don't like the aesthetics with the hard hat.
No.
Will Bolt can wear whatever the hell he wants on top of his head.
Well, okay. If they're getting to supers, sure.
Well, that's the goal.
It's the equivalent of somebody wearing a visor on the sidelines.
But there's a lot of coaches that wear visors.
And I have a problem with a lot of coaches doing that. It's the equivalent. Right? It's like you might as well wear a visor, Will. What are you doing with the batting helmet?
Coach Bolt, you do you.
I mean, he can do him. But what's wrong with a hat? Like, what's going on there? He
may wear a hat.
Is he concerned? Because the only thing that it protects is the top of the head.
Which is important.
But is he concerned that there is going to be a baseball that finds him specifically there? The top of his head. He doesn't care if he gets ear-holed. That's fine.
He'll just rub some dirt on it, Kranach.
It's just ridiculous.
No, big time get for Nebraska, and you have an entire weekend with the College World Series getting underway today. And, of course, Dave Van Horn, very prominent against Florida State at Arkansas. That is the nightcap at TD Ameritrade, and Nebraska will get some good buzz around the world of college baseball. You've got the situation where it was confirmed to Hail Varsity yesterday that the hire happened with Will Bolt. Kyle Cardell, good story on HailVarsity.com. Be sure to check that out. And, of course, Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. His story had nothing but support from Rob Childress and Dave Van Horn on what Nebraska's getting. Listen, you got familiarity. You want that. And what makes me most excited, if I'm a Nebraska baseball fan, this guy has seen how it's worked and won at Nebraska. And, you know, looking at Will Bolt's quotes in the press release and also his appearance on the Husker Sports Network, I mean, it's pretty simple. Play hard, work hard, recruit hard, but get kids from Nebraska. And that's how Nebraska won. And that's how Nebraska went from a team that was maybe on the verge of not having baseball to building a jewel in Haymarket Park. They got in-state arms. They won with pitching and defense and gritty play on the base paths. And you have that attitude coming here. And Coach Bolt, very complimentary of Darren Erstad with what you know he's inheriting. That's kind of where I turn next, is what can and will Nebraska baseball be under Will Bolt year one because of what's coming back. And I think you were an out away from a super regional potentially
right
this year. You got six of your nine guys that were position players as underclassmen coming back. You've got a freshman All-American in Gomez.
Yeah, multi-tool guy.
You have some arms that were kind of middle relief guys coming back. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to be able to – I mean, Bolt's already recruiting. He starts Monday, and they're recruiting. A couple of thoughts from Bill Moose as he was with the Husker Network. And, you know, why Will Bolt? This is the Nebraska athletic director who is now 3-4-3 with hires.
You had talked about wanting to get a guy who's been a head coach.
We'll get that edited down in a moment.
Hey, I got a tweet in from Sam.
Okay.
Sam, first and third base coaches have to wear those helmets now.
Safety?
Yeah, I think I knew that, but didn't entirely because you don't pay attention to that stuff too much. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to find a picture of him in a hat. You can't do it. You know what I mean? Like, you just look like, so he just wears it all the time. I wonder what he will coach, if he will coach a base. He probably will. He'll probably do third. But he may not. It's up to him. It's his program now. Yeah, so they have to do it because of safety reasons.
So there you go. Do you feel horrible and awful now?
But did you know that?
No.
Right?
But
you notice it.
I wasn't worried about it.
Why not? Why are you not concerned?
Because when he's windmailing people home from third, it's all good.
Okay.
So the target was Childress, and you heard per Kendall Rogers and his story that maybe Coach Casey, Oregon State.
Might as well ask.
But the only guy per Bill Moose that he went out and targeted and called was Will Bolt.
He was a name that you immediately thought of when Erstad stepped down. I think Childress was your sort of dream hire,
get, right.
But you didn't think it was all that likely. And then immediately it's Bolt. And so, I mean, you can't say maybe he was his top pick, right?
I think you had
a... You can say Frost and Hoiberg were.
Right, right. Well, I don't think it's fair to say that Bolt wasn't his top pick. I think because you felt like, you know, the beginning of the week, maybe a hire was going to happen, right? You had some smoke around the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Around Childress.
Right. And we talked to the A&M play-by-play folks. Sharpie will be with us at 8:30. Sharpie joined and kind of touched on what the likelihood was. And we all thought it was a long shot for Childress. Maybe Moose said, guy isn't leaving. Yeah. He wants to go get a College World Series championship at A&M. Who can we get that is a perfect fit who knows Nebraska? That's what I like, is you're getting a guy with familiarity and a guy who knows how to win here. Now, Bill Moose, in his short time here, has been just fantastic with going and getting really nice fits, pretty high-profile guys.
Dude, I mean, damn near perfect.
Right?
I mean, he has been outstanding.
Bolt's a guy that is going to kind of reinvigorate Nebraska baseball. Is Gertie wearing you out with chewing on the bone?
Oh, she's chewing something. I was making sure it wasn't a chair for your sake.
Okay.
It's a bone. No, that's good.
Yeah, we brought toys for her.
That's smart. Okay. You know, Bill Moose, he gets and deserves a lot of the credit. He should. Because that matters. You know, the fact that coaches are willing to play for him. Because some coaches be like, hell no, not playing for insert AD here. Mm. Just not doing it, right? So Bill Moose obviously doesn't have that working against him. But the money certainly helps. The Big Ten situation certainly helps. He's coming in at a really good time. This, I'm not trying to discount what he does and how successful he's been, but he's had some help, right? He's had some help with
That's why you take the Nebraska job.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's had some help. And it is, the renaissance continues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you think back, and it's kind of like, basically since Osborne left as a coach, it like created this ridiculous power vacuum that reverberated through the entire university, like Saddam leaving Iraq.
Did we just go Osborne Saddam comparison?
Is there really a difference? You know what I'm saying, though?
Like, for two means two different meanings.
But Nebraska's just been lost since then, right? Overall.
It had been difficult from an administrative leadership standpoint.
Yeah, it's just been lost. And it just feels like finally, a couple decades later, mm-hmm. things are about to be right. But, like, do you picture Will Bolt going, you know, 20 and 30?
No.
Right? It's hard to imagine that's going to happen.
I picture Will Bolt doing what Michigan's just done this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Michigan was on the ropes. Michigan was teetering. Michigan had 3 of 5 taken from them by Nebraska. Michigan barely got in.
Yeah.
But Michigan had strong pitching. Michigan had enough pop in their lineup.
We got a little speed.
They got some speed. They're athletic. Yep. What'd they do? They went and said, screw it. Let's go out to La La Land and take down UCLA.
You know, why couldn't you be like Boise in football, Gonzaga in basketball? You know, because the Big Ten Baseball Conference is the equivalent of that.
One or two strong teams and the rest you just fill your schedule with?
It's a mid-major conference as it relates to baseball. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Mountain West or the, you know, the Atlantic 10. It's a mid-major conference in baseball, which is hard to wrap your brain around. But why couldn't you be the team that goes 50 and 10? You know, where you have a couple losses to, I don't know, USC in the offseason or in the non-con, you know, you drop a series or two, but you were just mowing down that like Wichita State did in the Valley for so many years.
Sure.
Right? I mean, those dudes were always plugging out.
They were a power.
Yeah.
Here's what I hope continues. I hope schedule-wise, I mean, Erstad's formula was great. You just got to be able to win, right?
Yeah.
But your strength of schedule this year was 3, right?
Yeah.
You have road games because of weather at Baylor. You take a game against Texas Tech, who's in the CWS. You have a 4-game series down in Arizona against Oregon State.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Irvine. I think it might have been Irvine that Nebraska faced.
Yep.
you continue to schedule mightily in your non-conference, just play a monster strength of schedule, play the top, get some ACC or some Big 12 schools.
That's just insurance for getting into the postseason.
It is. But you got to keep that formula.
Yep.
And then hope you rule the Big Ten. But it just counterbalances it. You hope Creighton continues to stay good.
Yeah.
Right? And you hope Michigan stays where they're at, not winning the thing if you're a Nebraska fan, but it's a quality win you get. You hope you have some series against Arizona State. That return home and home's going to go on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Big 12 schools you can go hook up with. I mean, I'd like to see, and you've done it in the past, where you get Nebraska v. A&M, get some SEC schools rolling. Yeah.
Well, he's now obviously got those connections.
He does.
You know, there could be a whole Husker reunion tour.
Get Nebraska
to have
Arkansas and LSU come to town. I mean, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah. It's a good hire. It's a really good hire. But of course, to talk immediately.
The timing
goes
of it's good,
to,
too, because it's going to be a weekend of, hey, Nebraska got Will Bolt. Yay.
Yeah, well, and. But there's been a lot of talk already about, well, what are the expectations for the baseball program? And we got into that even a few weeks ago with Erstad. And honestly, if you want to seriously make hay, I think your expectations needs to be, it has to be Gene Stephenson golden era. Right? You're in an inferior conference. You are. You have some natural hurdles to overcome. Terms of conference, terms of weather, terms of all that.
Well,
okay,
it's just perception.
Cool. Now
right?
Dominate it.
It's a little better, but it's still kind of an afterthought sport in a monster league.
Dominate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is, to me, I mean, honestly, that's the expectation I think you have to have.
Bolt on those expectations last night with the Husker Network. There's no expectations that are going to be higher than the ones within our program. I applaud and appreciate the expectation that the Husker fans have because they expect a certain level of play and a certain type of mentality, how guys go about their business. That's the type of thing where the expectations in our program are going to be higher than what anyone could ever expect from us. Day in, day out, we're going to strive to achieve the highest, and you don't reach the top of the mountain without taking care of the little things day in, day out. That's something our guys are going to get preached until they're probably sick of hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Yep.
Good stuff. It is really difficult to criticize almost any decision that Bill Moose has made personnel-wise since he got here. I mean, just honestly, you're just sort of like, Bill, do your thing, man.
He's done his thing. Mark Kranach, yeah. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel, and we'll hear from Phil Steele in a minute. I want to remind you about your friends at Madonna Proactive. The Swing Well program is going on. Madonna Proactive, Madonna Therapy Plus, Therapy Plus at Proactive at 56th and Pine Lake Road. It's summer. It's golf season. Do you have some aches and pains limiting your golf swing? Well, the experts at Madonna Therapy Plus Proactive going to get you back in the game and swinging the clubs without pain. They'll do a fitness program, give you an assessment, and Darren Bryant is the man leading that up, a Titleist Performance Institute certified golf fitness expert, going to use a physical evaluation with video analysis and a customized exercise program that'll help you get back and get you back to par, right? So the Swing Well program is with Madonna Proactive, Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive, and the Swing Well Golf Assessment. It's not a golf lesson, but it's designed to give your body the help it needs. Give a ring today to Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive at 56th and Pine Lake at 402-420-0004. You can log on, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. We'll switch gears, talk some college football. Had a chance to sit down with Phil Steele, college football preview, Hail Varsity yearbook. You saw the cover of that on Twitter with Hail Varsity, Adrian Martinez. Can't wait to talk with Brandon Vogel next hour about the yearbook, about Husker football, about Will Bolt. We'll get the national preview as Phil thinks Nebraska's the team, not just in the West, but Nebraska will be the most improved team in college football.
He said that about Notre Dame, and that happened for them.
His track record's good. He'll have a little more substance as to the why.
Didn't he have TCU similar?
Like they went from 4-8 to 12-1.
Oh, jeez. Hello.
Texas hosed him.
Yeah, but that's Texas.
Mm-hmm. Texas hosed him.
Texas hoses everybody.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
That's what they do. Yeah. Quick timeout. Phil Steele next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is college football just around the corner. And you know the Phil Steele college football preview going to be out mid-June. We say hi to the man, Phil Steele, with us. And follow Phil on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. Phil, I can't wait. 12 Saturdays away. I'm already counting.
Yeah, this football season seems like the offseason's getting shorter every year, just as the football season gets quicker every year.
The feel we have around here, looking at Nebraska and the Big Ten West specifically, man, it looks like week in, week out, it'll be a dogfight from a big picture with the Big Ten. Question marks about Ohio State. Let's start there with some of the trends, some of your research, and part of your forecast with the Big Ten. What did you look at this offseason, and what do you think in prediction-wise here moving forward for 2019 with the Big Ten?
Well, let's start off with the East, Chris. And in the East, I think it comes down to the Big Four once again. When you look at a team like Penn State, they're just number 124 on my experience chart. They lose McSorley at quarterback. You wonder what's going to happen there. And it seemed like Tommy Stevens had been the guy in waiting, but now he's going to be starting for Mississippi State this year thanks to that transfer portal. So I think when you look at Penn State, they still are a contender, but probably going to be on the outside looking in. When I look at Michigan State, Michigan State's a team that last year had the defense. They had the number one run defense in the country, one of the best defenses, and their defense is loaded again this year. When you look at them, they've got 8 starters back on that side of the ball, my number 4 D-line, number 7 linebackers, number 19 DBs. Now, offensively, they were just ripped apart by injuries last year. They've got the bulk of their guys back. Lewerke, remember last year, people were talking about him, high NFL, Heisman candidate, didn't have the type you expected, mostly due to the injuries to him and the offense. He had an 8-11 ratio. I think he'll return to 2017 form. And I think Michigan State's a player, with the exception of the fact they have to play Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Northwestern all on the road. So that leads it down to the big two, Ohio State and Michigan. And I've been pretty consistent. I've picked Ohio State ahead of Michigan every year since Jim Harbaugh has been head coach. People have accused me of being a homer because I'm from Ohio. And every year Ohio State has beaten Michigan in the standings and been ahead of them. But this year, I'm calling for the Michigan Wolverines. I think when you look at Michigan this year, they've got they're switching their offense up. Josh Gattis comes over from Alabama. He's got Shea Patterson to work with, some pretty good receivers, an outstanding offensive line. And defensively, that's where you give Michigan the edge. They lost a lot of folks to the NFL, but they've got my number 13 D-line, number 10 linebackers, number 4 DBs, and they get the big game against Ohio State at home. I think I've actually got Michigan favored in all their games this year. I think they run the table and have a great shot at making the playoffs.
I think the handcuffs, Phil, going to be taken off Michigan, specifically Shea Patterson, and he's special. He was special at Ole Miss with his ability, and they just now may have the quarterback and system finally matched up.
Yeah, and the one thing that really, I think, sets Michigan maybe apart from Ohio State is quarterback depth. When you look at Ohio State, they've got Justin Fields, who's an exciting athlete. I don't think he's quite picked up the intricacies of the pass offense. He's not going to be Dwayne Haskins and throw for 4,800 yards this year. But if he stays healthy, they're in good shape. If he's not healthy, then all of a sudden it's Kentucky transfer Gunnar Hoke, West Virginia transfer Chris Chuganoff, and I think there's a big drop-off there. Meanwhile, at Michigan, if something happens to Shea Patterson, they've got Dylan McCaffrey, they've got Joe Milton, and even Cade McNamara, the true frost. So they really go 4 deep in quality quarterbacks at Michigan, and I think that might be a determining factor, especially as we've seen through the years, if quarterback injuries pop up, they can have a major impact.
Phil Steele's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the 2019 college football preview out in mid-June. PhilSteele.com is where you log on. And, of course, can follow Phil on Twitter at PhilSteele042. Let's talk Nebraska. There's a lot of buzz about year two with Coach Frost. There's comparisons and excitement as to what happened at Central Florida, Phil, in year two with Scott Frost. Adrian Martinez back. The defense looks to be better. Some questions on offense. How do you feel about the Huskers? Are they popped up on any of your trends or your forecast, most improved? What do you think of Nebraska?
Well, you know, Chris, last year, my number one most improved team was, or I should say 2 years ago, was Notre Dame. And Notre Dame had made the biggest jump out there. Last year was Florida. Florida went from 4-8 all the way up to the top 10 at the end of the year. So being number one most improved is a pretty big thing. And I've actually plugged the Huskers in there this year. When I look at Nebraska, you know, they're a team that opened up 0-6 last year for the first time ever. 0-5 since 45. But I thought they were better than their 0-6 record would indicate. We saw it down the stretch when they went 4-2. It's his second year for Scott Frost. He was drastically changing the offense from more of a pass offense to one that runs the football more. And defensively, you know, we've seen Nebraska struggle on defense the last couple of years, but I'm bullish on the players they have coming back on D. Now, a couple of factors have really floated towards them being my number one most improved team. I think the schedule strength was big. Last year, Nebraska faced a pretty tough schedule. This year, they avoid the top three teams in the Big Ten, so that's nice. They get Wisconsin at home. You look at the road slate in the Big Ten, very manageable. In fact, the five road teams this year, Colorado, Illinois, Purdue, Maryland, all four of those had losing records last year. Minnesota barely had a winning record, so the five road games, winnable. They get the toughest games, which are Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, all at home. I think the schedule sets up very nicely. They had the net close losses last year. A lot of arrows pointing up for Nebraska, and I think when you look at the Big Ten West, Chris, it is a crapshoot. I could make a case right now if you said, Phil, give me a great case for Iowa winning the Big Ten. I could make it. How about Wisconsin winning the Big Ten West? I could make it Minnesota, Northwestern, even Purdue. I'm not going to make a case for Illinois, but I actually picked Nebraska to win the West this year, my number one most improved team, and get to that Big Ten title game.
You know, I think you nailed it. Nebraska's schedule looks easier. It's not. I think you're going to have a lot of close games, some tight games, but I think the thing that Nebraska and Coach Frost will be better at this year, not only with getting some of those teams at home, but the one-score losses. They were 2-6 in one-score games last year. You'd think they'll be better this second year with that. And it's either an even or an odd run, right, Phil, with Nebraska? You either get the Iowa, Wisconsin, and Northwestern in trifecta at Memorial Stadium, or in an even year, you got to go on the road and take on all three of them. It is, man. It's going to be... crapshoot's the best term for it because of both teams being pretty even. I should say a lot of the teams being pretty even. Do you think the Frost and Martinez factor, is that something you put into heavy consideration too, not just with the schedule, but Nebraska's got a really good quarterback for the first time in a while?
Yeah, absolutely. And last year, I liked what I saw as a true freshman. We saw him improve almost weekly, and it was dynamic down the stretch. And keep in mind, this is a quarterback in Adrian Martinez that last year started on the road against teams like number 16 Wisconsin, Northwestern, Ohio State, Iowa. Nebraska also played Michigan on the road last year. So those five teams on the road last year, those are some pretty tough tests. That gets you much better acclimated to playing this year's road slate, which is Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, Purdue, and Maryland. So I think last year's test as a true freshman, it will lead to a large improvement for Martinez this year. In fact, he's very high on the Heisman Trophy list coming into the season.
Phil, who's just right behind Nebraska in the West? What's the order look like?
Well, I went number two. I went with Iowa. Now, Iowa did lose a lot on the defensive line. They still have Epenesa back. They have a veteran quarterback in Nathan Stanley. I like their rush attack with Sargent, Young, and Martin. And Kirk Ferentz is always going to put together a quality offensive line, and they've got that this year. In fact, one of my top-rated offensive lines in the country. You look at their schedule, they do have to play Michigan on the road, Wisconsin on the road, Nebraska on the road, Northwestern on the road, but they're capable of picking up some of those games. So I'm going with Iowa in the second spot. Wisconsin I've got coming in third. Tough to pick the Badgers that low. They were pretty much everybody's pick to win the West. A no-brainer that they were going to win the West last year, and then it didn't happen. They've got a guy in the backfield you might have heard of, Jonathan Taylor. He had the quietest 2,000-yard season I've ever seen. And while their quarterback transferred out, Alex Hornibrook, I like Graham Mertz. I think Graham Mertz comes in and gives him an upgraded quarterback even as a true freshman. Defensively, they lost quite a bit of talent from last year as well. But last year, they only had four starters back. They're up to six, so I think they'll be better there. They've got the roughest schedule of any of the teams in the West. They draw Michigan. They draw Michigan State, Ohio State, all out of the East this year. They have to play Minnesota, Nebraska on the road. So a grueling schedule for them. And then you look at Minnesota, you wonder, was what we saw at the end of the year, them beating Wisconsin 37-15 and them beating Georgia Tech 34-10, was that a buy sign for P.J. Fleck and his Row the Boat team, or was it somewhat of a mirage? Because they were pretty average the rest of the season last year, but they're the most experienced team in the West with 16 starters back. You can make a case for them getting in there. And then Northwestern, hey, every year people discount Pat Fitzgerald and company, including myself. And look at that, Big Ten title last year, despite opening up the season 1-3 to begin the year. They've got a perhaps, once again, a quarterback upgrade. I like Hunter Johnson. I think he's going to step in and do well as a sophomore. And they've got some talent back on defense. You look at Gaziano at defensive end, Patty Fisher at linebacker. They've got a tough schedule. They got to play Michigan State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Ohio State, at Indiana. So the schedule not easy for them. And then when you get to Purdue, going back to his days at Western Kentucky, I have always rated Jeff Brohm and company at a certain level. My talent ratings have them, and he usually overachieves. I did not have them getting to a bowl last year. They got to a bowl game, and they're going to be dangerous as long as Elijah Sindelar stays healthy. I think that's going to be the big key for them because he's the experienced quarterback. He's not going to be taking a lot of reps in practice this year because they want to keep him healthy for the games, but he's got an NFL-caliber arm, and if he can stay healthy, he's throwing to guys like Rondell Moore and Jared Sparks and David Bell, some of the great recruits that Brohm's been bringing in, and that makes Purdue dangerous, and we saw what they did to Ohio State last year.
You nailed it. Phil Steele with us. A couple more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio. College football preview coming out in mid-June, the 2019 preview. Phil, and zoom out as we say goodbye, and it's always fun to get caught up, and I thank you for your time. Sounds like with you picking Nebraska and Michigan, that's your Big Ten title game. From a college football playoff standpoint, do you have a pretty good feel for the four that'll be in, and it's the Big Ten in that conversation?
Yeah, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, Chris, and two of the teams I'm picking to make the playoffs this year, how about Alabama and Clemson? How's that for going out on a limb?
Well done.
And then I do have Michigan making the playoffs this year. I've got them running the table. I think I like the defense. I like Patterson, the offense. The schedule sets up nice. The very toughest games they get at home. And I think this is the year where Harbaugh breaks through. You look at those last two games last season, scratch your head a little bit about Don Brown's defense, but I got to think they'll be a very motivated defense this year. And last year, they looked like one of the best teams in the country prior to those final two games. And then, you know, you look for that fourth spot, and they kept asking me. They go, we need to get the cover printed, Phil. We need to get the cover. And I couldn't figure out who my fourth team was going to be. You know, Georgia's in the mix, Oklahoma. You could put Ohio State up there, LSU, Notre Dame, a lot of teams in the mix. And then going with two SEC teams. I think they're loaded. They run the table. Alabama runs the table. The loser of that game could still make the playoffs.
So Georgia, Bama, Clemson, Michigan, that's your four. Phil, we'll run you down again as we get closer to the kickoff, and thanks so much for your time today.
All right, thank you, Chris. And don't forget, head over to philsteele.com. You could actually right now get the magazines on the internet version. You can download it to your Google Play, Apple, download it to your computer, Kindle. Just go to philsteele.com, and in the upper left-hand corner of philsteele.com, click on Digital Magazines. It'll show you all the different ways that you can actually download the magazine right now and be reading all about Nebraska tonight. And that's at philsteele.com. Digital magazines.
Phil, thanks so much.
All right, Chris, have a good one. Great talking to you again, my friend.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with your weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. Dirty Gertie, the German Shepherd, is eating ice cubes right now. Good stuff from Phil Steele, man. Pretty high on Nebraska.
Yeah.
That is something that Nebraska fans excited about. Phil's extremely accurate, more times than not, with his predictions. And
it's a good year to make a move, man.
It is.
It really is.
It's wide open. You've heard that before. We'll talk with Vogue's coming up here, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, a little bit after 8. But, I mean, I've just had some pretty good chats with him, and I love reading his hot reads in the morning. Gets kind of your morning sports page going if you're a Nebraska fan.
Yep.
And beyond. And with Nebraska, I can see them doing well at home, right? I can see Nebraska taking and making that step to being a really good home team. Mm-hmm. On the road, on paper, the schedule looks very manageable, mm-hmm. but it isn't. It's just not, because there's going to be a team or two that jump up and bite. That's just, yeah. I think, how deep the Big Ten is. You've got the early trip to Boulder.
Yeah.
So
it's always a roll of the dice.
It is. But I guess my question to you with Nebraska football is, you know, what's it going to take for Nebraska to conquer that West, to make Phil Steele's prediction come true? Winning games, right? But when you look at Nebraska's home schedule,
yeah,
against the West and Ohio State, the crossover, you've got Northwestern, you have Iowa, you have Wisconsin, you have Ohio State.
All coming to Lincoln.
Does 2-2 get it done? Do they need to go 3-1? Do they need to be undefeated?
Hmm.
That's what I'm wondering.
2-2, I hedge on big time.
Well,
I'm just sort of like, that doesn't feel right. Feel like that would get it done.
A 7-2 conference record. Now, I'll say this: Wisconsin and Iowa have brutal crossovers.
Yeah,
I mean, they have Sparty, they have
Penn State,
Michigan, they have Penn State. Okay,
yeah.
I don't know if each has all three of those, but it's
each of them have dicey. Three tough ones.
They do. Yeah. At least 2 out of 3. I mean, yeah. Again, on paper, Nebraska's toughest crossover. Yes, it's Ohio State, but you're at Maryland towards the end of the year, sandwiched between Iowa and Wisconsin,
yeah,
which isn't fun. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can make this happen.
What's that?
Just heard from Will Bolt.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yep. Next week. Cool.
Oh, next week. I thought today.
Wow. It's
Come
all
on.
Good. It's all good.
Will's obviously awake, be like, hey, bruh.
No, that's fine. That was my mistake.
We on right now.
You can ask him about his hat, and then he can slowly backhand you.
Well, a part of him has to have died a little bit when he's seen those pictures. Be like, really?
He's awesome. We love Will Bolt. Here's the thing, okay? And Will Bolt is a guy that we've both interviewed, but I got to know Will, not like we're boys, but I'm doing the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I go from the University of Nebraska Business College because econ was undefeated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I said, I love sports. Let me do sports. So I get into broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's where I meet you. You've been a friend for life.
Yeah.
And you and I are doing KRNU Out of Bounds Radio.
That's right.
And
everybody listening remembers fondly.
No, they don't. They remember you. Yeah. But the point of it is you're like, dude, Nebraska baseball is going to be good. You said that once.
You remember this, that. Okay, yes. You remember what, me popping in after interviewing Van Horn.
Yes, we had Van Horn on the show.
And just kind of looking
and
like.
And you're like, Schmidt, like I tell you, Nebraska baseball is going to kick ass again. Or for the first time, maybe.
Right.
And you called it because Van Horn came on our show like in 98-ish.
Yeah.
And then the first player we ever did, because the university was great about getting us players, was Will Bolt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Will, remember the interview back in 98? You know, it's not Paul McCartney.
Because that was probably his first radio interview, too.
I think it was.
Yeah.
He's eating pizza in his dorm room, and he laughs about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it goes back 100 years with Will, and God bless him for still remembering me.
It's funny you bring up that Van Horn one, though, because I have never left an office, left an interview. That was my first ever interview, period.
Right.
Right? I'm like crapping myself. I got my tape recorder.
You're right. Hit play and record. Yeah, lavalier mic. Let me.
This is called a lavalier.
Can I attach this to your gold chain?
I'm gonna clip this on you. Is this okay?
You mistake and got his nipple.
Dude was totally engaged. He wasn't just like kind of doing a kid a favor and just being like, oh, hurry up.
No, he was like, don't waste my time.
He was like, what's up?
Staring through
like,
you.
He's like, we're gonna do this. I mean, he just like laid out a plan, and I walked out. Like, damn, I should walk on, even though I'm not very good and I will not help him in his goals. But he was so motivating. And you could tell he had this steadfast belief. And then Will is cut from that exact same cloth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's weird. That's what is so promising. Because keep in mind, people say it's sort of easier in the Big 12 or whatever. Which
it's easier and harder. It's easier to get kids.
It's easier to get kids, but look at the behemoths that you were going against. You know, people kind of overlook that with Van Horn. Like, that was just a given because you're in the Big 12 that you're going to be one of the top dogs in that conference. I mean, you're talking about Oklahoma State. Both of them have College World Series lineage.
Well, and Oklahoma
you're talking
State's
about
like
Texas.
The best team never to win it.
Yeah,
when you look at their squads.
You're talking about Texas. You're talking about Baylor. You're talking about teams that got there,
mm-hmm.
that got to the CWS with regularity. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would say it's similar to the Big Ten in football. You ain't going to just waltz in and just be like, all right, move aside, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. Like, it doesn't work like that.
You can't be Debo and Friday. It's my bike pump.
But Van Horn did that.
Yeah.
Dude, he walked in. He said, step aside, all you, like.
Blue Bloods.
Yeah. No, Nebraska's, and he elevated them to where we now have these expectations. That was not a given.
No.
Like, at all. And people talk about it's the goal. It's the only era for Nebraska baseball.
Well,
when you were nationally relevant. It's the only era.
No, it is. But to come out of nowhere to become that.
Dude.
And you're getting a major puzzle piece from that two-league program.
Pretty quick, too. What is he? He was here like 6 years, seven? I mean,
took
he
over
just...
in 97 and was out in what, 02?
Three, four, something
like that. Yeah. All right, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine next. Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs. Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal are busy. They haven't started the fire yet. At Two Birds, One Stone, at Herbal Essences. We say hi to Arthur and your man for football and all things Nebraska with HailVarsity.com and Magazine, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. His book with Coach John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, I brought you a friend, Gertie, in this morning to celebrate the hiring of Will Bolt. How are you?
I'm doing well. I saw the photo. Getting big, looking good. That's a sharp-looking dog.
She is she's not a bad first base coach, right? I mean, she'll hop up and down and make sure you run through. Let's start with the news yesterday is, of course, Hale Varsity was able to run down confirmation about the Bolt hire. The national baseball guy, and there's several, but Kendall Rogers, well known, also had information on that. And then, of course, the Nebraska press release. Just a good day yesterday. And Bill Moose has had a lot of good days, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. It's been, you know, coaching searches are usually pretty hard to predict. But I think the last three for Nebraska kind of ended up where everybody thought they would. I mean, there was probably a little bit more uncertainty with Bolt, but, you know, pretty early on, I think, well, towards the end of last week, it sort of looked like he was had emerged as the most likely candidate and the top candidate for that job. And, you know, it makes sense on a lot of fronts. So, yeah, another coaching search down for Nebraska now, and it's third biggest men's sport. And pretty crazy to be starting that many new eras at the same time.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Is it possible for Bolt to lead the kind of renaissance that Van Horn led when he took over the program?
Maybe. I mean, that's tough. When you look at that era of Nebraska, it certainly stands out compared to the rest of the program's history. And I think it's an interesting turning point in that it showed that sort of success is possible here. But it's still not easy. I think the interesting thing about this, and I know some A&M fans, you know, with the way the Aggies did offensively this past year, we're not too upset to be in the market for a new hitting coach, essentially. But I think the thing that's really key to this is A&M's a good program. It's probably a top 20 or top 25 program in the country, but it's still probably eighth or ninth best in a brutally tough SEC. Nebraska is not in that spot in the Big Ten. So for those, I know some people have a little bit of reservation about just kind of that part of it, you know, that the previous school wasn't necessarily torn up about it. I'd say wait on that and see, because it's a pretty significantly different situation.
You know, how much stock do we put in baseball in your hitting coach? The comp would be offensive coordinator in football.
Yep.
I get that. Right? Scheme, design, all that. End of the day, you're hitting coach in baseball, though. I mean, look, if you're facing Kershaw, he's going to have like 15 strikeouts. If you're like, right? How much impact can a good hitting coach take a 250 batting average collectively and turn it into 295? It doesn't seem like that can happen.
Well, the work's got to be put in on it, right?
Yeah. It's one of those too much credit, too much blame sort of things, I think. And I would say the same is probably true for football. You know, it all fits together somehow. So, yes, you hire those people to hopefully have some impact on the area they specialize in. But at some point, you know, your ability to play defense is going to affect your offense, all of those things. So it's tough. It's one of those, you know, I think timing was a big part of this. If it had been 2 years ago when A&M was coming off of, you know, a pretty strong offensive year, well, then it's the tenor around that's different in terms of what's coming out of College Station. So that's always, I think, just kind of going to be there. But you're right, you know, your batting average when you're facing Clayton Kershaw is going to be a lot different than when you're, you know, facing the fourth or fifth starter on a staff. And in the SEC, a lot of the time, you're facing guys who are pretty good. So I don't look at that as a reason for concern. Do you notice it and does it give you pause? Okay, sure. It's something to think about. But honestly, I don't know enough about what A&M's team looked like. You know, they could have been young recently. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, Erstad is going to hit 350 in college. Alex Gordon is going to hit 350. Kind of no matter how you coach them, that's going to happen.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. So how do you think this went down? And I know Moose has commented, and there's a story up on HaleVarsity.com with Moose. But take me through how you envisioned this process, Brandon, with Erstad resigns. It's been about 11 days. There are head coaches out there, and you went with a top assistant that everyone raves about.
Yeah, I think Bolt, given his connections to the program and his success at Nebraska, was certainly in the top group. We know, Moose said last night that Erstad gave him a pretty glowing review, which no surprise there. So I think he was certainly in the group. I know Moose said that this was his only call. I would be surprised if they didn't at least kind of, and maybe he was the only coach that he spoke with personally. I'd be surprised if they didn't at least look around at a couple of other guys. Back on the day that Erstad resigned, Moose in another radio appearance said he was looking for previous quote unquote Power Five head coaching experience. And, Bolt doesn't check that box, which I don't think is a huge cause for concern by any means, just saying he doesn't. So, maybe Bolt was the only one where talks really progressed to any point where they were thinking, okay, we're ready to make an offer. Wouldn't really be doing your due diligence if it was just one guy who you'd stated a preference for previous head coaching experience and he didn't have it. So who knows? But I, from what I do know, Bolt was kind of the only one that had gotten close to this point, and it wasn't a surprise to me yesterday when he was the hire.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Do you think Bolt can, is the expectation or should the expectation be that, okay, you play in this mid-major conference. That's basically what the Big Ten is in baseball. Like, right? It's more akin to a mid-major.
It's better than that, but it's just mid-major. Recently gotten better. It's probably bringing up the rear when it comes to Power 5 leagues, but exactly. It's probably a step above. I don't know.
In football terms, it's the Atlantic 10, right? That's just what it is. You have a couple teams that hover around the top.
Can we go AAC?
Yeah, that's probably okay. Yeah, AAC.
Sorry, though.
That's probably what I meant.
I'll let you two talk in a minute.
That's what I meant. No, I totally meant the AAC. Where you have like a Memphis and a UCF and a USF hovering around the bottom.
You may have a new team at the top, but somebody at the top's at least an 11-win team.
But generally speaking, the best you can hope for is being ranked 15th, and that's rare, and then you lose one and you drop out, right? Like, it's just, right? You're just not going to have top 10 teams in the Big Ten. Do you think it's realistic to sort of be the Wichita State, in their golden era, the way they dominated the Valley, or the way Gonzaga dominates in basketball, or the way Boise dominates in football? Is that realistic? Is that the expectation?
I think that's kind of the top end. I think it's a little bit high. I think Nebraska in the Big Ten, because that was kind of the expectation when Nebraska joined the conference on the baseball side, that they were going to kind of run the show because they'd been in the Big 12 and they'd, had recent success. And I think the Big Ten has gotten better. I agree with your assessment of kind of where it falls in the power conference pecking order. They're not going to have not consistently going to have top 10 teams is a really good way to put it. I think that's kind of where they're at. So I think Nebraska should be one of the usual suspects every year. You're just like, the Big Ten is kind of open this year. There's a lot of turnover in terms of rosters or whatever. And you're like, you just pencil in Nebraska to be there because, they're one of the top two or three teams in the conference year in and year out, and kind of over a larger span are probably the best team. I don't know if I see them dominating in the way that Wichita State does. Wisconsin in football might be a good comparison. If we look at Wisconsin this year, they got to replace a bunch of their O-line, new quarterback, defense took a dip last year, but they're like, it's Wisconsin. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. I think that's Nebraska baseball in the Big Ten.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, we'll get to the yearbook. Saw the cover unveiled on Hail Varsity's Twitter account and Instagram. Excited for what's ahead with Hail Varsity and the yearbook. Want to go to quarterbacks real quick. And I know Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, put a good story together when it comes to the power ranking of Big Ten quarterbacks. I think most folks listening feel great about Adrian. I think a second year with Frost together, I mean, that's got to make you smile, as having a difference maker at the key spot. When it comes to quarterbacks after what you have with Adrian and even a Shea Patterson, who do you think's best set up in the Big Ten to make a charge here? Who is there a quarterback in the league that you're intrigued by, or that's underrated, or do you think's going to have a breakout year? I mean, where are you at with the quarterbacks, the signal callers that are going to be descending on Chicago here in less than a month?
Yeah, you know, I think you go back and forth in terms of that top spot, and it depends. Like, I think nationally a lot of people slot Shea Patterson in there. Derek had Adrian Martinez in there, and I'm honestly, those are probably my top two as well. In terms of underrated quarterbacks, I kind of beat the drum for this guy a lot, but Peyton Ramsey at Indiana has played a lot of football. He's pretty efficient. He's, you know, not surrounded always with the best offensive talent. That's a program that wants to run the football a lot. He's actually the active career leader in completion percentage coming in, which is kind of strange. Like, he's been pretty efficient. Now, it's not an explosive quarterback, but he does some good things, and yet Indiana seems to put him in a quarterback battle every year too. So maybe there's more there that I'm not seeing. I'm interested to see what happens at Minnesota. You know, they had two guys that were kind of
game managers.
and you know, Morgan kind of showed a little bit. Well, the team went 4-2 with him as a starter. He's a little bit more kind of erratic, but opens up some higher upside plays, I guess. So that's interesting. And Hunter Johnson's probably the one at Northwestern. You saw kind of what Clayton Thorson was able to do. Hunter Johnson, I think, has more pure talent, of course. And I think he'll end up being a pretty good fit there. The key for Northwestern will be, you know, can they put the skill position pieces around him to really maximize his ability.
I haven't looked too closely at Purdue, but is Sindelar the front runner there?
He started several games last year for him.
I know he did, but he's battled injuries, and I think mentally he hasn't quite put it all together. But talent-wise, dude is definitely there. Is he still the front runner, or do they have like a newer transfer or freshman or something that's battling?
Yeah, he's still the guy. You know, they put him in bubble wrap towards the end of spring, and you know, and I think he had a little bit of an injury, so he's been injury prone. You know, that it's kind of a good point, because I think Sindelar is good, good enough to do what they want to do. You know, 2 years ago, so Brohm's first season, that was actually Brohm's pick early in the year before they eventually made way for Blau. But behind him, you know, there's nothing there that I think kind of causes the non-diehard Purdue fan to sit up and take notice in terms of what's coming. In fact, I would assume that's probably a pretty big priority for Purdue on the recruiting trail this year. You know, they had a really good class a year ago with some guys, but the quarterback I don't recall as being one of the key pieces there. So there's not a lot of depth for them. And when you look at Sindelar's kind of history, he can make all the throws. He can do what they want him to do. They got to keep him healthy.
Yep.
Vogues, tell us about this sweet beauty known as the Hail Varsity Yearbook.
Yeah, when's it coming? When's it shipping?
It's being printed right now in Omaha, and it takes a while to put together a book of that size. So it'll probably be into the following year, not next week. So probably about 9 or 10 days is when it'll officially start shipping, and you'll start seeing it show up, particularly in Omaha and Lincoln, because it does ship from Omaha. So that's kind of the timeline. I'm really, really excited about this. You know, this is one of those, you get into coach speak pretty easily when you get into these things. You're never going to hear somebody say, like, yeah, we just didn't have it this year. You know, it's going to be a rebuilding year for this yearbook. But I legitimately do think this is kind of probably the strongest one we've done yet. We've got, you know, if you read the announcement yesterday and saw the cover with Adrian Martinez, Aaron Sorensen was able to spend a day with him and kind of follow him on a day during spring football. So if you want to look at what an athlete's life is actually like.
This like the
is,
whole day, good. Like followed him from the time the dude woke up all the way till he went to bed type thing.
Yep. Yes, the whole day. So a lot of good stuff there. Derek Peterson has what I'm confident in saying is the definitive account of the key moment from the 2018 season when Nebraska turned things around. Mm. And I don't want to say much more about it than that, but I think people are really going to like it. Mike has two great stories. Greg did a great job kind of taking you inside how prospects get added to Nebraska's recruiting board. We keep tweaking the opponent previews and the position previews to get a little more information in there each and every year. But the complement of features in this magazine is really strong, and it's the sort of thing you can sit with for a while. We got some pretty lengthy and in-depth features in there, so I think people are really going to like it.
Awesome.
Brandon Vogel, there's your preview. So is there going to be kind of a countdown going on, 9 to 10 days? Will we see something on social media, the countdown, and here it is?
Yeah, so we'll have a little bit more about the yearbook on the website tomorrow, not too dissimilar from what I just kind of told you guys. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to keep seeing more and more pieces of it as the week goes on and we get closer to the actual ship date. So if you're not following Hail Varsity on all of the various social media platforms, that's a great place to get some early looks at what's coming.
Gotta love it. Brandon Vogel with his HailVarsity.com and magazine. Can't wait for the yearbook. And can also log on and follow Vogues on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel for all your Husker updates. And read his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, always fun to chat with you, man. Thanks for what you're doing, and can't wait to get caught up with the yearbook, man. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There
thanks,
he is. Brandon. It's Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. A reminder, it is Father's Day weekend. Maybe dad needs a new timepiece. Maybe you as a dad want to go find that timepiece. Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang can make that happen for you. Three locations, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. Interest-free financing options available. And what a selection, not just for mom or the wife, but you, the dad, or the grad. See Rick and the gang today as through the 16th of June, in-store coupons at Sauter Heyman. $350 is what you spend or more. An in-store coupon of $75 off. That's savings passed on to you for so many options with Sauter Heyman. Of course, the jewelry and the time-tested customer service and selection is second to none. It's undefeated. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today, sauterheyman.com. A quick timeout, the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Will Bolt hire and some football thoughts. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. Going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. We welcome in the Iron Horse. It is Gary Sharp time. Sharpie, it's Will Bolt, and I know you got to be smiling. How are you?
Good. You know what? It's a cool day because a guy who, you know, has kind of come full circle. He caught the pop-up, the final out at Buckbelcher Field to send Nebraska to the first College World Series. He was a captain. He was originally committed to Dave Van Horn at another school, and Van Horn convinced him to come to Nebraska. It's a cool moment for Will and his family. And it's the guy that I knew that Nebraska would focus on. He was the only guy they focused on, and I'm glad I got it done, and now they can move forward. And I think there's a lot of excitement surrounding Will. And, you know, when people that are his peers or have been around him or coached with him in the SEC highly recommend him, even though he's never been a head coach at the Division I level, that's enough. And I think Bill Moose trusts some people that gave him recommendations and followed through, and it kind of worked the Moose way. There were no leaks. There was really only one guy he focused on at the top of his list and wouldn't let that person say no, and now Nebraska has a brand-new baseball coach.
And, Gary, you were play-by-play during that run, and so you called, God, hundreds of Bolts games, right? And he's played the most out of anybody ever in Nebraska history. Have you ever heard a bad thing about the guy?
Yeah. He used to get on his teammates. I mean, when you're the captain, man, he would use some salty language with some guys. But no, I kind of say it sarcastically. You know, he's kind of one of those guys that you looked at, and everybody's going to call him Dave Van Horn Jr., and you're not that far off because they kind of look alike. They're kind of about the same size. And I remember that hearing Will talk was almost like Van Horn talking because Dave had a go-between. I mean, Dave was not easy to play for at Nebraska. You realized how great he was probably when your career was over. But Will was kind of the Dave Van Horn on the field, and he got guys to buy in, and he got guys to be on the same page and compete for nine innings. And I think you're going to see, we've seen that in his coaching, and I think you're going to see it even more as the head of the program. But you're right, Mark. It's tough to find anybody that says, man, that guy is a bum.
Yeah, there's no but.
Why would you hire a Texan to come back to Nebraska? That guy is a bum. Well, he's a really good guy who it's really cool because, you know, there's not a lot of people walking around the face of the earth that look at Nebraska baseball as their dream job. Will does. And when you see somebody that I personally know, that you guys know, get his dream job, that's pretty cool. And it also lets you know that now there's more pressure inside of Will than there is outside to get Nebraska baseball to where we all kind of want it to be.
Sharpie, from an identity standpoint, I know we talk about what's the team's identity, right? We've hit on that for football, and we've hit on that for basketball when it comes to, you know, tempo and ball movement, yada, yada, yada. For baseball, what's going to be like the secret sauce for Nebraska? What Van Horn's teams won. They won because Will Bolt was really good, but he was also a guy with high character and leadership, and he helped drive people. When it comes to managing a new team, inheriting a team that had success this year, what are going to be some traits of a Will Bolt baseball team?
I think you're going to see a good influx of in-state kids. Remember, Texas A&M has done a pretty good job of recruiting the state of Nebraska.
Yes, they have.
And I think you'll see Will continue to do that. And he has already built-in relationships with coaches in this state. I think you will also see a team that is built on pitching, that can have three guys that go out there and throw strikes, get out, and win games for you. But I also think you'll start to see a shift of not small ball, hey, grind it out, let's win 3-2 games. I think with Will as a recruiter and him identifying players, you're going to see a more athletic team. What I really kind of think you'll start to see at Nebraska is kind of what you're going to see out of Michigan. If you remember what you saw in the Big Ten or the NCAA tournament, what you're going to see at 1 o'clock today against Texas Tech, they're built on pitching. They have a stellar pitching coach. And then they're a team that is very athletic. They don't look like, hey, it's the Northern baseball team, bunch of, oh, okay guys. No, it's guys that, for example, the Big Ten Player of the Year, he wanted to walk on and play football at Michigan, but he had a shoulder injury, it knocked him out. But he's playing baseball. And Jordan Brewer looks like a guy that shouldn't be playing in the Big Ten. I think you'll start to see those kind of guys at Nebraska, but they're going to play hard. They're not going to make, I think Will not stand for simple mental mistakes. And he will live on consistency that, you know, you're not going to win every game. And there's going to be challenges playing in the Big Ten, but we're going to be a consistent program that does X, Y, and Z every time we go out there. And people know that what they're going to get. When we go out on the field, that's what they're going to get.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. What do we know about his potential staff? It's funny, you look at the A&M staff, and it's just Nebraska South. I mean, you got Justin Seeley on there. You got Jeff Christie on there. Will Bolt just left. Any chance he brings one of those guys, or any sense, or is a Silva get retained? What are you hearing?
It'll be a whole new staff, and you have to, because you want guys that are going to be familiar with the area that you want to recruit in. And I think Jeff Christie has a very good shot of returning to Lincoln, you know, former Lincoln Southeast product, Nebraska guy. I'm not sure in what role, but, you know, Will is making $300,000. There's a nice pool for assistants. There are connections, whether it be a Jay Sirianni, who pitched at Nebraska, who's got a great baseball mind, is the pitching coach at Sam Houston State. There are plenty of guys to select from Will. But I think when you see his staff come together, they will have a familiar theme of what their background is and their strengths in recruiting and what states they're able to take. Watch also, I think Nebraska will be more involved in the junior colleges, whether they be in Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, or in Texas, where at least you try. You have familiarity there. I don't think Darren and his staff knew much about the Texas JUCOs, so they didn't really go in there. I think Will and his staff know the Texas JUCOs, so they're going to go aggressively to try and convince kids that are down there to believe in Will Bolt in Nebraska and come up here. And that's a big, that'll be a big inroad for Nebraska that we saw helped them during the escalation of the Van Horn era.
Sharpie, what do you believe about Nebraska as a state when it comes to baseball? I mean, we as a family are doing baseball games every weekend. There's select teams everywhere. It's a lot of fun. It's great to see kids playing ball and practice at ball. And even probably 10 months out of the year, you're doing something with baseball. When it comes to the in-state talent and what is available, do you feel good about this era right now, this generation, for lack of a better term, being pretty talent-rich for the home state school?
Absolutely. 43 Nebraskans played in the Division I baseball tournament. You look at Jeez. The development of talent, whether they're staying in-state or going elsewhere, they're making a difference. They're not just taking a roster spot. I think high school baseball and baseball in this state has really grown because of all of these prospect camps that kids are going to at a younger age. So they get more eyeballs on them, and the recruiting attention picks up. But I think the instruction is better. The coaches are better. There's more opportunities to play. You can't play year-round, but, boy, you're playing a lot of fall baseball. You're playing a lot of spring. You're playing a lot of summer. The one thing that if I had to give Will Bolt advice on recruiting, and trust me, he doesn't need it, but in-state is do not all of a sudden overlook arms in Nebraska. There are really good pitchers in this state. There have been really good pitchers. And Darren and his staff started to make inroads as you look at the last couple of years of the pitchers from Nebraska. They said, I think initially, if you're from Nebraska, you're not going to be able to throw because when you're throwing, majority of the year, you're probably throwing inside. You can't poo-poo that. There's some really good arms in Nebraska, and you have to believe that they can pitch at the Division I level and pitch successfully and pursue them, because if you do that, the high school coaches are so good in the state that if you build a relationship, they're going to take care of you as well. And that was probably a couple of years too late under Darren. It happened in the last couple of years. I think Will will get on the ground and start running with that. Because remember, one other thing about Will and coaches knowing him, when did baseball just explode in this state? It's when that team under Van Horn that Bolt was part of during his 4 years made the run to the College World Series, and everybody was talking about baseball. And Nebraska baseball would do a barnstorming tour in the summer across the state with the head coach and his assistants. And they would bring players, and Will Bolt usually was one of those guys. So coaches now know Will Bolt as the player. They know him as the assistant coach that was recruiting, whether it be at Nebraska or Texas A&M. Now they know him as the head man. So it's a win-win across the board in trying to convince in-state kids that it's okay to stay home. Now, you're not going to get the best ones. It's tough to convince a Max Anderson of Millard West that he should stay home and play in the Big Ten and the Big East or the Summit. He can go to the SEC and play at Texas A&M before big crowds and that kind of competition. But there are others that you can say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is the place for you, and they're difference makers.
Gary Sharp was with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, you go back to the Dave Van Horn era, and it's kind of funny. People look back and they're like, well, it was the Big 12, so that was easier. And it's like, no, because there was Texas and Baylor and Texas Tech and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, like to just all of a sudden force your way into being an upper echelon Big 12 team was damn near impossible to imagine. but Van Horn did it. Do you think it is possible for something similar to happen here in the Big Ten, similar but different, because it's more of a mid-major type baseball conference, to be honest? I mean, is it possible for Will to crank out the type of program that's definitely getting 40 wins, you know, maybe even 50 on a crazy good, like, can he vault them to where they're just dominating the conference?
I would love to, my love of Will Bolt, I'd like to say, yes, Mark, that's going to happen. I think if you go by the baseline of what the guy signing the check thinks is successful, remember, Bill Moos thought this year was pretty successful. Playing on Sunday in the Big Ten regular season or postseason tournament, being to the last day in contention for a regular season crown, going to the NCAA tournament and not being two in the queue. I think if for Nebraska baseball can be in the Big Ten, with some of the challenges that you're going to face, just be, and some of those things that you have no control over, if you're in the top three in the Big Ten every season, the regular season, you're not laying an egg in the postseason tournament, and you're a two seed in the NCAA tournament with once every 5 years a chance to host, once every 5 years getting to a super, and then maybe something magical happens and you get a Michigan. Remember, there's only been two teams out of the Big Ten since Nebraska's been in it and made the College World Series. I think all those are acceptable. I think what Will will push for is Will will push for that to be the norm, that those benchmarks are met every single year. And then there's that one year when you find lightning in a bottle and everything comes together and you're the Michigan of 2019, like we have seen them have the kind of run where they've gone through Corvallis in Los Angeles to get back to Omaha 3 weeks later when they were almost not going to be in the tournament. I think that's kind of what you like to do if you're a Nebraska and where you'd like to get the program to in Will Bolt's era.
Sharp, you want to switch gears and get your thoughts on some college football. And we had a chance to chat with Phil Steele this week, and Phil's pretty well respected with his projections. And you look at where Nebraska's at, and he's picking them in the West against Michigan out of the East. And Nebraska is circled as the most improved team in college football. That's quite an accolade. With Nebraska here, are you more bullish on the defense being a notch or two better? Or do you think it's going to be a situation where you got year two with Coach Frost, there's more of a comfort level, you've got year two with your quarterback, despite some of the questions about the offense, that the best is yet to come with the offense as you're a year better together in it? Where are you at when it comes to why Nebraska could be the most improved team in college football?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, sarcastically, you go, well, they can only go up after going 4-8. I think year number two of familiarity on offense with Adrian Martinez and some of the things he can do, but there are question marks on who's he going to be doing it with, mm-hmm. either who's going to be snapping him the football, who's he going to be throwing it to.
He's going to be throwing it to somebody that likes weed. We know that. We do know that.
Or handing it off. I think on defense, we talk about year two and we focus on Frost and offense. I think year two, familiarity with the defense and the coaches, but there's some stability there, will also benefit Nebraska. You know, Travis Fisher has made great strides in his room. You know, Lamar Jackson is a wild card. Lamar Jackson has a monster year. What if Darian Daniels has an all-Big Ten type year? I think it's more on the defense will make strides. And I think the defense has to get off to a good start, and I think they will, while the offense kind of finds its footing. But I think there's a couple of factors. One, when people say, okay, Nebraska's going to win the West, yeah, we know that Nebraska will make strides, but is there enough to get to 7 wins in the Big Ten out of Nebraska's schedule? Because that's kind of the magic number if you're going to win the division. I also think you factor in, guys, this is unlike any other year that I can recall in the Big Ten. Nebraska's been in it where there is no overwhelming favorite either in the East or the West, and nearly all 14 teams have questions, and not just one or two, they have 3 or 4 questions where it's so wide open, especially in the West. This should be a lot of fun. Could you win 6 games in the West to get to Indy? Hmm. I mean, how many teams are going to be 5-4? There's a lot of questions there. So I think there's factors of year two of Frost, familiarity, the next step by your quarterback, but also that the West is so wide open, and Nebraska's more intriguing or difficult games, however you want to look at it, come at home. But also remember, Nebraska hasn't been dominant at home like they were in the past, and that's got to be reestablished if you're going to make a step forward. And maybe this is the year with four big games at home.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Obviously, it's pre-fall camp, and so a lot of the players have just recently arrived at Nebraska, the incoming players. We know about Wandale. We know he's going to be a factor right away. Any other freshmen that you're hearing that, in all likelihood, are pushing for cracking the two deep, if not even more than that?
Not since they hopped on campus, but the defensive backs, those guys look good. I mean, yeah. They don't look like they just rolled out of high school graduation. They look like they just rolled out of their first year of college. So Newsom Farmer, Noah Pulla-Gates are three guys that right away meet the eyeball test that you think, okay, they're going to make some noise sometime during the entire season. Another guy that is I think is vital for Nebraska because of their depth at that position, that he looks the part, and I think when you're playing inside linebacker as a freshman at any level, especially at this level, it's difficult. But Jackson Hanna, just the way he carries himself and the way that he is built, God, he looks like an inside linebacker, guys.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised, and we kind of all projected this when Nebraska was recruiting him, that he's going to get on the field sooner than later. He's another guy that if you pass on the street, Mark, you go, okay, that guy's built like a linebacker. Tell me your name.
Without even looking at him, I'm guessing, looking on the roster, his number has to be 44 or 56 then.
It's the Nashville Assassin, right?
Which one is it? We got to find out.
The Nashville Assassin. Sharpie, before we let you go, and I know you got CWS coverage coming up and excited to hear you on that. What do you think of this year's field? I mean, it looks awesome, and you've got a lot of storylines with Florida State, obviously, and Michigan's back for the first time since the Barry Larkin era. But what about Dave Van Horn, as close as Arkansas has been a year ago? I mean, some great matchups, some great theater to take place at TD.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic field. You know, half of it's the SEC. You have some teams that are established, some passionate fan bases. Then you have a Michigan who, with three pitchers, you know, you got some off days built in. Don't all of a sudden discount Michigan. They're playing a team that nobody's talking about, Texas Tech. But I like Arkansas. You know, their roster's a little bit better than it was last year. They've been on the redemption tour when you're a strike away from winning a national championship and you fight all the way through the SEC to get back here. They finally got back here, and now it's kind of like, okay, that first part of the relief is over. Now let's go get done what we have to do. But on the other side of the bracket, wow. You got Mississippi State, Vanderbilt that are staring right at each other. And then a Louisville team that just rolled East Carolina. It's a great field. I think it'll be an all-SEC final. I've gone with Mississippi State and Arkansas, and I said this about a month ago after watching them, but I think this is the year that Dave Van Horn gets the national championship. Mm. And think about this, guys. There has been a little bit of a redemption tour in college baseball. Texas lost in the final the following year. They won a national championship. Virginia lost the following year. They won a national championship when they got back to Omaha. I think it'll be Arkansas. I think it'll be great for Dave Van Horn. You know, I mean, the guy can do no wrong in this state. He coached here, which it's 17 years now that he hasn't been here. That seems like a long time.
Wow.
And then he also, you know, a former player comes back to coach Nebraska. So I think this is, for the next 10 days, I think this is Dave Van Horn's tour to get his first national championship.
Sharpie, we'll see you up in Omaha, bud. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care. Gary Sharp, loving it. And good stuff from him as always. Podcast of today's show going to be up HailVarsity.com and iTunes. Good stuff from Brandon Vogel in our Rewind with Phil Steele. We'll wind down a Saturday next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Big game tonight. Oh, it's huge. The Lincoln A's against the Columbus Mariners. Our dear friend David Gustafson.
The frickin' what?
The Columbus Mariners.
We play them. A's?
We play them tonight at 6:20. The Lincoln A's.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And you know what? I'm going to put a little side wager out there with Gus, a steak and a beer. I don't want him to go all Pete Rose and bet against his kids, but, you know.
Is he coaching them?
Yeah, he coaches them.
So your son is playing against a Gustafson-coached team?
Yes.
That is interesting.
It is very, very interesting. Yeah. So, that's we're touching gloves tonight.
Okay.
And then probably drinking some Grain Belt later.
That's Grain Belt? You're going with that?
That's his beer.
Okay.
Gus is good stuff. It's awesome to have him in Lincoln.
Yeah, you used to have former co-host around here.
Yeah. My co-host for Monday through Friday for several years. And so the Mariners are coming to town, and the Lincoln A's got the eye black on.
Okay.
And it's going to be pretty big time.
That'll be good.
You know Elijah's an umpire?
No.
He umpired last...
That's a tough job, man.
He umpired last Sunday morning. He umpired Carson's team.
How'd he do?
He's great.
Really?
I'm not just saying that. He was a fantastic umpire.
Really?
Yeah, he is.
No questionable calls.
No.
How's the strike zone?
Strike zone's great.
Really?
Yeah. We need to clone like 75 different Elijahs and supply Lincoln.
Do you ever accidentally call the wrong thing, even though you know it's the wrong thing?
Of course not.
Okay.
He does go a little, you know, Naked Gun where he's doing stuff behind the plate and spins.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
You gotta do that.
Gotta have some flair.
Elijah's like... Naked Gun, huh? What? Colton, Elijah, be good. Kranak, have a great weekend.
You too, sir.
All right, be good. We'll talk to you Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.